Blog Talk Radio.
To the Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy Monday morning to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Monday, November 23rd, 2020. Do you believe that it's almost been 3 weeks ago since the election? And I want to bring us up to date today on exactly where we stand with what is going on in this chaos, in this fraud. And I've been paying attention to the rallies, just incredible rallies all over the country, especially one in Atlanta, Georgia, just a couple of days ago, the Stop the Steal rally. Very powerful, very strong statements from our patriots. We are continuing this fight because we believe we have the truth on our side. It has been demonstrated. The Trump campaign, the Trump legal team has very strongly demonstrated very serious voter fraud, voter irregularities, poll watchers denied access to the process, ballots postmarked beyond November 3rd, in some cases ballots that were allowed to be counted and were told to forget the postmark. Deliberate fraud and deceit, thousands of ballots all of a sudden surfacing, sometimes ballots found in places they shouldn't be, and the list goes on, and included in that list, of course, is the subject of today's program, the hammer and scorecard and the Dominion voter fraud allegations, largely brought about through Sidney Powell, and we're going to be talking about that later. So, in the midst of all of this chaos, we as Christians have a foundation and a trust that we can cling on to in the midst of everything that's happening. With almost 3 weeks since the election, we are wondering, what is going to happen? Are we really going to be faced with 4 years of Joe Biden and his socialist extreme agenda, which basically overturns every good thing that President Trump has done in the last 4 years? Or, by the grace of God, will we see the Lord himself intervene and expose this fraud and overturn those states that would have normally went for President Trump and, again, would bring this election into a whole different direction? Will our high courts stand with the truth, or will they cave? Will they just let things happen and say it's not provable, or it doesn't rise to the amount of fraud that's necessary to overturn parts of this election? What will the decision be? Well, I found some real comfort and grace in one of the beautiful Psalms. The Psalms really speak very strongly to the cause of the oppressed. I use the Psalms when I pray for my Iranian friends. And I want us to hear from God's word this morning. Before we get into anything with interviews, accusations, and we talk about what's been happening since November 3rd, I want us, first of all, to focus right now on what is vital and most important to us. I want us to hear this psalm, I think, speaks directly to what we're going through. And it gives us hope in God's sovereign purpose in all of this. Psalm 64 from the New King James Version. I want us to hear what God says he's going to do in our situation. It begins with a cry, a lament from David, the author of the psalm. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities, saying, we have perfected a shrewd scheme. But the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I want you to hear some key points from this song. Those that are engaged, the deep state, the schemes of the wicked, the psalmist says they encourage themselves in an evil manner. They talk of laying snares secretly, and their claim is, who will see them? And they say, we have perfected a shrewd scheme. Does that not speak volumes of what's going on here? They believe they have put together an invincible plan of fraud that won't catch them, that they're going to be successful. But notice the psalmist David says, God understands their hearts. God knows their wicked schemes. God understands what they're doing. He is going to fire back at their plan and wound them, it says. He will make them stumble over their own tongue. In other words, God will work all of this evil together for our good, for the good of our president, I believe that's what this psalm is very clearly saying. And we are to be glad in the Lord and trust him. I love this psalm because it's so encouraging. It puts everything in perspective this morning of what we're going through. And this should definitely be our attitude. This needs to be our attitude as we focus and face what's going on with this election fraud. We need to have this kind of conviction from God's word. And I hope that encourages us this morning. This month also is a month of remembrance of the plight of my dear Iranian friends. Last November, they were involved in a very bloody uprising against the government, and over 1,500 peaceful protesters were killed, were murdered, and all they did was go to the streets and raise their voices. But in a dictatorship, you can't do that. One of those protesters was a young, beautiful 14-year-old girl named Nikta Esfandani. Nikta Esfandani. I talked to my Iranian friend. She says the name Nikta, N-I-K-T-A, means one, good one. Picture of Nikta, and it's on my timeline. It's part of my profile picture right now. You can see this beautiful young teenage girl at 14 strumming her guitar with such gladness and happiness in her face, living in a dictatorship, yet she has her guitar there. And she is so happy making music, singing in the midst of chaos and oppression. And when I look at this picture and think of what happened to her, it breaks me. And I decided that for the next week or so, I want her picture right up there in my profile. I want you to visit my page and just look at this beautiful young girl, 14, killed. She was shot in the head by security forces on November 16th of 2019 on Tehran's Sitar Khan Avenue. Her family looked for her for 3 days before they could receive her body. The regime officials told her family that since she was only 14 and a child, they would not ask for the cost of bullets. She was born in April of 2005. She lived just 14 years. She was finally buried in Bestita Zara Cemetery on November 20th, 2019. You have to see this picture of this beautiful girl. She had hopes and dreams inside of her soul. She loved her guitar. And this evil regime took her hopes and dreams away from her. And it's probably the saddest story I've ever read about the protester and what she stood for. Please think of Nikta, every time that you are tempted to complain about the chaos in your life. Now, I want you to hear this soundbite about the election fraud. I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth himself, from Joe Biden.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Now, I understand, I've been told the context of this, that what Joe Biden was referring to was an organization to protect the election from voter fraud, but that's not what he said. When you hear it from Joe Biden And then you see the fruit of everything he has said all around us. You ask yourself the most important question. Was this deliberately done? Was it done by the Democratic campaign? Was it funneled and sponsored largely by George Soros and other deep state operatives? When you hear Joe Biden say that, what is going on here? Well, let me try to help us this morning. I have featured Sidney Powell on the program. I will feature her again today. But I want to introduce you to a very prestigious person. His name is Thomas G. McInerney. I'm so sorry I'm butchering your name, sir. McInerney. He is a retired United States Air Force Lieutenant General and is well known as a war hawk. He was a command pilot with more than 4,100 flying hours, including 407 combat missions. And that was during the Vietnam War. In addition to his Vietnam service, McInerney has served overseas in NATO, Pacific Air Forces, and as commander of the 11th Air Force in Alaska. Currently, he is a Fox News contributor and a member of the Iran Policy Committee. This retired general has put together quite a scenario about what has happened in this election. And it's called the Hammer and Scorecard. You've heard of Dominion. This is part and parcel of it. Hammer and Scorecard. I want you to understand what's going on all around us. And this is a special report on One America News about Hammer and Scorecard. Let's listen.
Well, evidence of voting fraud continues to grow, and insiders in the intel community warn that the CIA could be behind efforts to meddle with the election. Here's One America's Pearson Sharp.
Members of America's intelligence community are raising red flags that the 2020 election is being outright stolen from the American people. Retired Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, who was formerly the Assistant Vice Chief of Staff of the U.S. Air Force, says two pieces of software called Hammer and Scorecard are being used by Democrats as a super weapon for voter fraud.
People must understand that this software was used to overturn the 2020 election. The first time in the United States' history that massive amounts of cyber warfare have been used in our voting system.
McInerney says the software was designed all the way back during President George W. Bush's first term in office.
Hammer is a surveillance software developed by the CIA. The programmer was Dennis Montgomery. He developed this in 2003 to go after radical Islamists. Scorecard is a program that was developed for CIA that manipulates voting booths.
McInerney explains Scorecard was intended to overturn elections in foreign countries to install leaders favorable to the United States. But then, under Obama, it was turned to an even more sinister purpose.
Well, that was done by the Obama administration 2 weeks after Obama came in 2009, February 3rd to be exact, moved it out of CIA into a secret skiff in Fort Washington, Maryland. And then they started listening on U.S. citizens to include chief justices, prominent Americans, politicians, et cetera. When that happened, Dennis Montgomery, who invented the programs, became a whistleblower.
Under former FBI Director James Comey and former CIA Director John Brennan, both Hammer and Scorecard were redesigned to target American citizens, specifically the left's political opponents like Donald Trump. This software is highly illegal, but with President Obama's blessing, these deep state operatives went to work on not only discrediting Donald Trump, but on undermining the 2012 and 2016 elections. The programs were countered in 2016, but now in 2020, they were successful and managed to sabotage the election of President Trump by instead reallocating his votes to Joe Biden. McInerney says it was primarily used in the battleground states and is evident in the massive vote dumps for Biden in the early hours of November 4th, the morning after Election Day.
We should be demanding from the president to expose these numbers publicly. You see news networks like Fox that are ignoring it. All the mainstream media, they flipped on us. They do not want to hear it. they won't let people like me on, and they don't want to hear anybody mention it. They discount it completely. But we know it's true because we watched it being prepped. They used it in the primaries.
McInerney believes if not for vote tampering, this would have been an overwhelming win for President Trump, but that this information must be given to the right judges so they can act on it, and quickly. If that doesn't happen, he predicts it could have dire consequences for future elections.
If Republicans lose this election, they will never win another one again. It will really be hammer and sickle, and that flag of Russia and the Soviet Union and communism will be flying in the United States. China and Russia and others will own us.
Pearson Sharp, One America News. Want to see more videos like this? Visit ONN.com for immediate access.
Those are some incredibly serious allegations, but it certainly, to me, it fits the scenario of what has been going on the last 4 years in a coup attempt against our president. With the whole dossier, the Russian collusion, the Ukraine, the impeachment, and then the COVID. If you put it all together, ever since Donald Trump took office in 2017, there has been a deep state operative determined to remove him. And now, according to the general, hammer and scorecard, he put it very eloquently, hammer and scorecard would become hammer and sickle, because that represents a communist takeover, a socialist takeover of our entire country. You may say, well, that's awfully extreme. But this is a retired general. He understands intelligence. He understands how things work. He has followed all of the evidence, and this is where it leads us to believe that. This is no really different than the Dominion allegations, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But it's really interesting about this program and the CIA using it, then Obama using it for spying on those that are against them, in other words, non-democratic people, those that are rivals, and especially President Trump. You heard what the general said. It reminded me of this weekend when Becky and I were watching one of our favorite movies, JFK. Of course, you know, it's 57 years ago and yesterday that Kennedy was assassinated. And of course, you know, all of the theories about the assassination. We believe it was a conspiracy, and we have looked at all the evidence, both pro and con. But when I watched this movie and understood the context of the enemies of the president. President Kennedy wanted to withdraw the troops from Vietnam. He didn't want us involved in that war at all, but the government, the military, wanted us there. And what was one of the very first things that was done after the assassination of Kennedy, but the withdrawal of troops from Vietnam? And if you look at the movie JFK, that very powerful scene where Jim Garrison is sitting on a bench with Donald Sutherland, and Donald Sutherland is laying out the scenario of when the government doesn't like a political figure, they know how to get rid of him. Well, that whole movie and what was done to Kennedy by his enemies, especially ex-CIA members, et cetera, the war in Vietnam and other things, it was done because they wanted him out of the way. And they found a way to do it. Isn't that just like today? Nothing has changed in those deep state pockets of our government. If they don't like someone, if someone is a threat, out with him. Well, what about Donald Trump? Well, of course, he's a threat to the socialist, globalist, elite movement. He loves America. He loves the middle class. He wants us to prosper. He wants to secure our borders. He wants to do everything to protect us. But the globalist elite don't want part of it, and he stands in the way. And so since day one, they have done everything they can to remove him from office. Just like in the movie JFK, I urge you, if you've never seen it, you've got to see JFK, and you'll see the parallels. I was screaming out loud. I said, wow, this reminds me of what's happening to our president today. So hammer and scorecard. Think about what he has just said. The general lays out a very, very persuasive scenario. But that's not all. I want us to now cook up with what I call her Wonder Woman. She is an amazing attorney. Now, she may not be an exact member of the Trump legal team. She may be doing this work on her own, but she's still standing for we the people. Okay? She's still standing for us. She may not be an official member of the Trump legal team, but she's at every press conference. Now, Sidney Powell has been saying, in the same way that the general has been saying about hammer and scorecard, what really has been going on? There are so many different lawsuits, so many different scenarios, and I've talked about that at the beginning of the program. This scenario is the most frightening part of the election fraud, though. I want us to understand it, and I want us to understand how very provable I believe this is in court, how this could overturn the entire election. I want you to hear now, in this 8-minute soundbite, this is very important, what Sidney Powell said a week ago on Lou Dobbs. Let's listen.
Well, joining us now, Tom Fitton. He's the president of Judicial Watch. Sidney Powell, General Michael Flynn's defense attorney, former federal prosecutor, best-selling author. I want to say, first of all, thank you both for being here, and I appreciate it. Sidney, let's start with this election process. We just heard from John Solomon that the FBI indeed is being diligent, is involved, and we all hope he is exactly right. Your thoughts first about the knowledge now that the Justice Department is involved in this review of the election.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. I think there are any number of things they need to investigate, including the likelihood that 3% of the vote total was changed in the pre-election voting ballots that were collected digitally by using the Hammer program and a software program called Scorecard. That would have amounted to a massive change in the vote that would have gone across the country and explains a lot of what we're seeing. In addition, they ran an algorithm to calculate votes they might need to come up with for Mr. Biden in specific areas. I think that explains what happened in Michigan, where the computer glitch resulted in a change of votes of about 5,500 in favor of President Trump, just in one of 47 districts. All those districts need to be checked for that same, quote, software glitch, end quote, that would change the result in Michigan dramatically. The same thing is happening in other states. We've had hundreds of thousands of ballots mysteriously appear for solely for Mr. Biden, which is statistically impossible as a matter of mathematics. It can all be documented. We are putting it into materials that we will file in federal court, and we need to seek relief in multiple states to enjoin the certification of any election results.
Tom Fitton, as you listen to Sidney, that sounds like a strong case for a straightforward allegation of fraud. The two programs that she just mentioned, I'm going to ask you right now, have you ever heard of them? Because I had not heard of them.
No, I mean, there have been noises about it on the Internet, but I don't know anything beyond what Sidney's reporting now. I go back to the numbers you reported at the beginning of the segment. The president was winning on Tuesday.
Right.
He's not winning now. And he's not winning now as a result of a process that the voters can't have confidence in, the state legislatures can't have confidence in, and my view, the courts can't have confidence in. So the question is, are the courts going to undo what went on? I don't know. But the state legislatures in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, perhaps Arizona, they now have an opportunity to make a stand on behalf of the rule of law. Are they going to endorse what went on this week, or are they going to appoint a clean slate of electors that supports President Trump? That could be the next battle, and I would think that activists interested in this issue, and if you're concerned watching this, start talking to your state legislators. And I start asking where Congress is, because Congress, in the end, is going to be the judge of the Electoral College votes. And if I were in Congress, I'd be telling these states, you better keep up on, you better be honest here, because we're not going to accept your votes if your election is a sham.
Well, Cindy, let's go back to Hammer and Scorecard. Are those the names that you just used for those programs? What's being done about it, and how broadly were they used by vote counters in various states?
I think they were very broadly used, but not by the vote counters. They were used by the forces in the Democratic operatives that had access to these programs through the government access points that they have, and used it illegally to change votes in this country. It's got to be investigated, probably by the president's most trusted military intelligence officials, who can get into the system and see what was done. But we do have some evidence that that is exactly what happened. And they've used it against other entities in other countries. It's just been turned recently against our own citizens here to change election results. It's absolutely appalling that that can be done. And whether it's called computer glitches or something else, somebody has actually gone into the system and changed voting results.
That's called intervention in our elections, irrespective of, I guess if they were Russia or China, we'd refer to them as meddling. But it's intervention, and it's also crooked as hell, rigging this election in any, whether, no matter the jurisdiction, whether it's Michigan, Georgia, wherever it might be. What can we do about it? Because the Department of Justice, I mean, if there's evidence of that program, why not just turn it over to the Justice Department and say, let's go to the courts and say, this has got to stop now. Here is the way in which it was done.
Well, we've been trying to get their attention, and we're going to try even harder, and we'll have to put it in a federal lawsuit, apparently, and get as much of it out as we possibly can. We have some excellent witnesses on the issue. But this is coup 5.0, Lou. I mean, there was no reason to think that the Democratic operatives who spent hundreds of millions of dollars creating the Russia hoax, the Steele dossier, taking us through a special counsel operation for 2 years, trying an impeachment hoax, the apocalypse hoax, the obstruction hoax, wouldn't go so far as to create every means of voter fraud they could come up with to steal this election. That's exactly what happens. The president must fight back now in every way, shape, or form. We cannot let this republic be stolen by the Democratic operatives who want to destroy the republic and make it a socialist country where they continue to line their pockets with these backdoor global deals like the Biden laptop from hell exposes.
Well, Cindy, I think you're exactly right about that not happening. Let's turn Tom Fitton. You've pointed out in our discussions that these legislatures are Republican controlled. Who can take that message to them, and precisely how likely is it that they would be receptive to a clean slate of electors who would represent, say, the state of Pennsylvania? That's a Republican legislature. And stand up for the integrity of elections and support the president.
Well, you know, the focus from the media and activists and regular voters and citizens need to be brought to bear here. Certainly the information we're learning from campaign activists on the ground, independent journalists like John Solomon, the work of Judicial Watch, should be also be brought to bear. I mean, we knew going into this election in Pennsylvania, Lou, there were 800,000 extra names in the rolls in Pennsylvania. Nevada County has 154,000 inactive names on the rolls. Clark County, Nevada, I mean. So we've got this problem of dirty election rolls, mailing and balloting being allowed to draw from
a Republican party that doesn't demand that those rolls be cleaned up. I mean, that's crazy. Could you put up that graphic again, please? Folks, I want everybody to see what they're looking at, because this is really very important what Tom's talking about. The control of both chambers of the legislature in these states that are critical right now in deciding who the next president will be: Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia. They must play a role in this to preserve the integrity, just as Tom Fitton is urging. And Sidney Powell, what you're breaking here tonight is extraordinary as well. We've got to go. We're at that point. But thank you both for everything you're doing for the country and for the president. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
An impressive scenario put forth there on the Lou Dobbs program with Sidney Powell. And this is in conjunction with what the general said about hammer and scorecard. I like what she said. It's frightening. This is a 5.0 coup, meaning a coup against the president. And it's all about election integrity. It's all about election transparency. Every legal vote must be counted. And yet we have opposition in Michigan and Pennsylvania, as I speak to you right now, certifying the election when they shouldn't be doing something like that. One Republican in Michigan has said no to the certification. So the process is continuing. The opposition is continuing. And it comes down to this. We must not only pave the way for this very vital election, but future elections. We cannot allow these early mail-in voting. We have to have poll watchers allowed within 6 feet to watch the process and not be banned from watching it. We cannot allow election ballots to be accepted beyond the postmark. And have the postmark changed. And it goes on and on again. And obviously, we have to do something with this Dominion and Hammer and Scorecard software. It's illegal. It's fraudulent. And if all of these claims are accurate, we have a powerful case before the Supreme Court, which is where I believe this battle is going to be finally decided in. Now, earlier last week, there was a powerful news conference. Jenna Ellis was there, Joe DiGiovia was there, Rudy Giuliani was there, Sidney Powell was there, and Rudy, once again, what a great lawyer he is. He's taken on the mob and he's won. He's a strong advocate. Here's what he said, putting everything in context, this past Thursday in this very powerful news conference. Let's listen.
And what emerged very quickly is it's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states, almost exactly the same pattern, which to any experienced investigator, prosecutor, would suggest that there was a plan from a centralized place to execute these various acts of voter fraud, specifically focused on big cities. And specifically focused on, as you would imagine, big cities controlled by Democrats, and particularly focused on big cities that have a long history of corruption. The number of voter fraud cases in Philadelphia could fill a library. Just a few weeks ago, there was a conviction for voter fraud, and one 2 weeks before that. And I've often said, I guess sarcastically, but it's true, the only surprise I would have found in this is if Philadelphia hadn't cheated in this election, because for the last 60 years, they've cheated in just about every single election. You could say the same thing about Detroit. Each one of these cities are cities that are controlled by Democrats, which means they can get away with anything they want to do. It means they have a certain degree of control over, certainly control the election board completely. And they control law enforcement, and unfortunately, they have some friendly judges that will issue ridiculously irrational opinions just to come out in their favor. The direct evidence of the fraud of the people who will testify that, in fact, that's what happened to them, as well as the 50 to 60 witnesses we have for the way they were treated and not allowed to inspect the ballots. They weren't just not allowed to do it. They were pushed. A few cases, they were assaulted. In all cases, they were put in a corral so far away, probably the closest they got is from here to the back of that room. We could do like a did you all watch My Cousin Vinny? You know the movie? It's one of my favorite war movies because he comes from Brooklyn. And when the nice lady who said she saw, and then he says to her, how many fingers do I got up? And she says, three. Well, she was too far away to see it was only two. These people were further away than my cousin Vinny was from the witness. They couldn't see a thing.
And, of course, Rudy Giuliani is referring to the treatment of the poll watchers, not allowed to watch the process. Highly illegal, very fraudulent. As we've been listening this morning on The Cross in the Desert, we are probably, or you probably feel overwhelmed with the corruption and the evil going on all around us. And I want us to go back to the Word of God for our comfort, for our foundation in these times of chaos. And I want you to think about this time, Psalm 61, a beautiful psalm of hope, of crying out, of lamenting before God in these chaotic times. It's sung beautifully by Matthew Ward. I want you to get your hope and your strength. Beautiful psalm.
Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to thee when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a refuge for me.
What a beautiful rendition of a psalm of hope, a psalm of safety, a psalm of security in times of chaos. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to thee. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than me, for thou hast been a refuge and a tower of strength before my enemies. Wow. The Psalms are a basis of comfort, trust for us this morning. As we face the most critical time in our history when it comes to who will be the president of the United States for the next 4 years. And we understand, and I understand from the programs I've done in the past, that our sovereign God is in control of all events of the world. He's not taken by surprise. He is sovereign, and he truly is in control. But while we understand that foundational truth, like the psalmist, we cry and lament about the evil that we see all around us. And I want to end our program today the way we started it, back in the security, the safety, and the truth of God's word in this time of chaos. Psalm 10 is a song of David, of confidence in God's triumph over evil. I want you to understand that God wins in the end. He triumphs over evil. And I want us to hear this incredible psalm from the Passion Translation. Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O God? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his pride countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly. As a lion in his den, he lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches. He lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you shall not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of earth may oppress no more. Notice the progression here. The psalmist begins with his plight, his lament, and he says, Lord, where are you? Why is it you seem to hide from us in times of trouble? Look, don't you see the wicked persecuting the poor? Lord, please let their plots be overturned. Don't you hear the boast of the wicked and what he says? He is saying, I'm not going to be caught. Your judgments, they're out of eyesight. I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. And yet the psalmist, if you watch carefully the progression of what the wicked is doing, it seems like the wicked is prospering. It seems like the wicked is getting away with this. But then as you progress towards the end of the psalm, David says, come on, Lord, arise up. Don't forget us. I know that you're going to hold them accountable. I know that you're going to repay the wicked. I know that you're really the helper of the fatherless, that you will indeed break the arm of the wicked, and you will do justice to the poor man. You will be the just God of the fatherless and the oppressed, and that in the end, Lord, as I told you in the beginning, he will have triumph over evil. It's a song of confidence in God's triumph over evil. We see this in Psalm 10. We see the same thing in Psalm 64. And they said they had devised a shrewd scheme. And the psalmist says in Psalm 64, God will not allow them to prosper. He will fight for us. He will make them stumble over their own devices and their tongue. In the end, he will triumph over evil. Hasn't it always been that way? When things look so dark and completely out of control, when it looks like things have gotten as bad as they possibly have, and we as saints have been praying and seeking God's face, and we can say, I believe with confidence, that in the end, God's plan cannot be overthrown. What he says he will do, what he said his word would be sent out, it will accomplish the purpose for which he sent his word out to do. We can have complete confidence in the midst of our chaos. You see, because if you listen to the media every day and you listen to the extent of the fraud and the deceit in this election, at some point in time, if you're like me, you get overwhelmed. And then you see our court systems, the liberal-leaning judges, the Democratic operatives, the deep state. If you 24/7 listen every day to what is happening in our nation, it becomes overwhelming. And that is why on this program, although I'm going to present the evidence and I'm going to talk about what's wrong, I'm going to always guide and direct us back to the security and the authority of God's word. Because in the end, that, my friend, is all that matters. This is very serious to God's heart. It's very serious, and you see this throughout the psalm. Perhaps one more psalm is really indicative of us to look at, and that's Psalm 2 from the NIV. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. That's what the nations are saying. That's what the globalist elite are saying. There's no room in their hearts for God. But what does God say in response? The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies him in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain, referring to the Lord Jesus. Well, God laughs at them. He scoffs at them. Who do they think they are? These nations, according to Isaiah 40, are a drop in his bucket. They are nothing compared to the majesty and the glory of our God. I want us to understand from this morning, his holy word, that if you are overwhelmed and despaired with the COVID crisis, like all of us are, and then what's happening in the news, take comfort in refuge in God's word. Make it a habit this week to meditate on Psalm 2, Psalm 64, Psalm 10. Why? Because as we've seen in these Psalms, God is stirring our hearts to understand something. There is no plot, no scheme that is greater than the plots and the plans of our God. He is the sovereign Lord of the nations. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. He is in control. No matter how bad things look, in the end, His goodness will triumph over evil. He will put everything in perspective for us. And I say this as I've said this in past programs, and it's not being trite. No matter who is in the White House, Jesus is still on the throne. He is still King of the universe. If it be God's will that somehow Joe Biden becomes our president, we should never fear. God has given us His solemn promise that He's in control, and that there is no plan of the wicked that will prosper and that will overcome the saints of God, because He is got our back. He said to Moses, take your staff and point it and see the glory of God. And what happened? He parted the Red Sea, and all of the chariots of the Pharaoh were drowned, and God's people walked across dry land. You know the story. God let His people be backed into a corner for the sole purpose so that He could display His great glory to them and His solemn vindication of His truth. This is so important. Our God has our back. When the armies of the enemy rise up, God says, I will fight for you. Our God is a warrior God. And so I hope this morning, in the midst of everything that you've taken away from this program, maybe you are so tired of what is happening in our country, and you hear the allegations and you hear what's happening and what they have done. That's why I want God's word to be your sole foundation, your sole comfort in everything that's happened. Because, folks, He wasn't taken by surprise on November 3rd. Our God knows what's going on, and He will prevail in the end, because He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. Please continue to pray for our President Donald Trump. Please make it your duty this week to take these Psalms, Psalm 64, Psalm 10, Psalm 2, Psalm 61, and meditate on them. Let it be a part of your daily activity so that when the waves of conflict come against you, you can rise up and walk through those waves with confidence in God's word. I want to say thank you to every one of you who listened in this past hour. I want you to have an incredible week, and join me again on Thursday for the next episode of The Cross in the Desert.